Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I am a newcomer to the tobacco control world, but I'm very happy to be here today to share with you the results of our study on the online marketplace of e-cigarettes. And I have no conflicts of interest to report. I did include a background slide for the one or two of you who may be in the audience who actually are new to this topic. So this is a product that's been on the market in the U.S. for 8 years with increasing rates of use. It's now a multi-billion dollar industry, and there's no federal regulation of this product. However, the FDA has proposed regulation, deeming regulations, in April 2014. Those have not been finalized yet, as most of you know. But I plucked out of the regulations some of the key parts that are relevant to this discussion today of online e-cigarette sales. And that is that they will require a minimum purchase age of 18, and also require health warnings on product packaging and advertising. And just as importantly is what they will not address, and that is that they will not address internet ads or internet sales. And it was in that space that we wanted to focus our research, adding to the sort of the foundation that was laid by others like Dr. Grana, Ling, and Dr. Chu at UCSD. Just to characterize what's out there in the online marketplace and what kind of promotional and marketing practices these vendors are engaging in. So we started with five key search terms and identified 246 possible websites to do content analysis on. Then applied some exclusion criteria and whittled that down to 57 websites that we looked at in our that formed our sample. And we did content analysis on many different areas. I'm just going to talk about a few of those today: age verification, sales promotion strategies, the use of social networking, and the presence of safety warnings. Okay, so let's start with age verification. So there is no federal regulation right now establishing a minimum purchase age that will occur at some point when those are finalized. But there are 48 states that have passed laws establishing a minimum purchase age. So this is a requirement now that vendors need to verify the age of their customers. And what we found was that 65% of vendors did some kind of age verification, and I'll define that in just a second. 35% did no detectable age verification at all. So what do I mean by age verification? So this was a typical example of a screenshot or typical example of an age verification method. So when you enter a website, you're frequently greeted with a little box that asks you, are you 18 or older? So you have two choices. You can either answer yes or no. If you answer yes, then you are allowed to proceed into the shopping section. If you answer no, then you get a nice little message saying, please exit this website immediately. This is on the right-hand side is a very typical example as well, where you're requested to enter your full date of birth. But in none of the vendors was there any indication that there would be additional steps that would be taken to verify that self-reported age. So it's kind of a weak age verification process for sure. So an area where, you know, this is a loophole here where youth access can gain easy access to these products. Okay, and then promotional strategies. We looked at many different kinds. I'm just going to share with you some of the more popular ones that we saw. What you see on the left-hand side there is an example of a kind of a reward scheme. So sign up with us. You can earn points for every purchase you make, and then you can apply those points to future purchases to reduce the total cost to the consumer. And then on the right-hand side is a promotional code that's offered. That was very common too, where you know it's like a coupon. You enter a code at checkout, and then the total cost of your purchase is decreased. And then here are the numbers. So 53% of the vendors offered some kind of a promotional code, almost 23% offered some kind of a reward scheme, and then also the other scheme was kind of a refer a friend referral where you earn points for, you know, bringing your friends in. So all in the attempts to either retain customers that they have or to, you know, broaden and expand their customer base. And then, of course, you can't talk about promotional strategies without talking about social networking. So we looked at six different platforms, and I present the three most popular ones to you here today. Of the vendors, 79% of them linked to one or more of these platforms. But what you see here is that 53% of the vendors had a presence on Facebook. They had a link on their website to their Facebook page, 63% to their Twitter feed, and 42% to Instagram. And, you know, why is that important? Well, it's important because we know that, you know, online marketing is a very inexpensive, effective way at doing word-of-mouth marketing, peer-to-peer marketing, it doesn't require a lot of sophisticated technical knowledge, so at least not to set these accounts up. So that something that we frequently saw with even with some of the smaller vendors. And then, of course, of note is that, you know, a lot of youth are online. They're using social media. 33% of Instagram users are between the ages of 13 and 17. So this represents a place where youth can be exposed to pro e-cigarette messages and images. So definitely of concern there. Okay, and then we also wanted to look at consumer warnings, what kind of consumer warnings are posted on vendor websites. And we looked for the five on the right-hand side of the screen there. This product is not for the underage. It's not for breastfeeding or pregnant women. Nicotine is addictive. It's not a cessation device. And this product is not evaluated by the FDA. Now, of course, these are actually, it's not required that vendors post these. They're kind of doing it of their own volition. What we see is that 68% posted two or more of these warnings, and then 32% had absolutely no warnings at all. Important to note is that this is an example of a warning. Almost all the warnings appeared in very small font relative to the rest of the website. Was often in the footer of the website, as in this example, which required, you know, scrolling down multiple times, or it was very deep in the terms and conditions of the website. So, not predominantly placed in a place that was actually going to be viewed by the consumer, probably. Looking less like consumer education and maybe more liability management. Okay, so where does that bring us? So what we basically found of these 57 online vendors is that we have weak age verification, prevalent internet marketing, and non-standard or no warnings on websites. And we definitely have some policy gaps here. Need to establish digital standards that would be adopted across the industry wide, perhaps looking to the online gaming industry for some best practices there, and then of course enforcement. I say restrict internet marketing and advertising, and I full well know that it's a little hard to address that when the bigger picture is that there is no restriction of internet marketing or advertising for tobacco products. So a little hard to justify that for e-cigarette vendors when the bigger picture is that it's not done for tobacco companies as well. And they require standardized warnings on websites to harmonize with that that FDA requirement of product package warnings. So, you know, clearly there's some gaps here that leave consumers at risk, in particular those under the age of 18. And until those gaps are closed, we have a public health need. And with that, I thank you for your attention. And just a quick shout out acknowledgement to my PI, Dr. Tim Mackey, and to Rafael Como for statistical analysis.
We
certainly have time for questions. We have about 8 minutes, so.
When you had the list of the warnings up there,
were
they
did
they happen to be in the
prevalent? Actually, they are. So the question was the warnings that we posted, are these in the order of prevalence? And the answer is yes. And so the most common one was the warning of this product is not for the underage. And that appeared in 80% of the vendors' websites. Yes? I'm sorry. You know, so the question was, for those of you who didn't hear, is did we evaluate for those who were making cessation claims? We did not specifically do that, but I will tell you that I never saw in the 57 websites that we looked at any statement about their product being a cessation product, which is very interesting because, of course, it wasn't like that a couple of years ago.
We'll find it. I talk a little bit in my talk about where we did find that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. About flavors? We did not actually code specifically for flavors. That had been done by Dr. Chu and some other researchers. But yeah, they're very, I mean, just sort of anecdotally, lots of interesting flavor choices, gummy bears, cotton candy, that sort of thing. But no, we did not code for that. Yeah. Okay, question?
Did any other websites make claims about the source of their nicotine, whether it was tobacco-based or not?
We did not code specifically for that, but I don't remember seeing anything relating to that, no. No. Okay, all right, thank you.